Welcome back to another edition of New Amsterdam Radio. Flobo Boys here with you. And really, we're talking about ways to improve our lives personally and in the workplace. And on today's episode, we're diving into a topic of goals. And to help me with that, we're once again pleased to announce and to invite behavioral coach with over 24 years of experience, Debbie Longo, to the show. How's it going?
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. But the pleasure is all mine. This is really a serious topic, so I'm glad to have your expertise on the show today.
Thank you. I had one episode with you before, and I've had about four previous episodes on this channel, and I've created a few more channels because I'm going to be doing some different things with podcasts, and everything's going to be labeled. I have an RSS feed address, and I have Apple Podcasts and Spotify and whatever else is on there. There's about 15 other things on there. I had a podcast about goal making and goal setting in corporations with another show that I was on. I kind of wanted to go over what I didn't say there or fill in some things. So that's why there's two different episodes of the same thing. Most people know on your podcast and stuff that I'm a corporate skills behavioral coach. I've been in this business for over 25 years. I had a spiritual teacher mentor, and she died in 2021 of cancer. Even though I worked with her for this that whole time, I decided that I would continue this on my own. And I did some advertising and some websites, and I realized that podcasting is a big industry. And I was reading the statistic, and it's something like 4 billion people watch podcasts. It's an unbelievable, insane statistic. And then I started researching it, so I was able to take some invitations on podcasts. So this is kind of like where before podcasting, my spiritual teacher, she wasn't really like 25 years old. She was basically set in her ways, and she did everything in person, basically. I guess this is kind of the same thing, because I'm trying to reach, we did like local people and people that they knew. A lot of it was done like over the phone, but most of it was done in person. So I'm trying to reach as many people as I can, possibly all over the world. It doesn't matter, as long as they speak English. And as long as they have like an internet connection, I mean, that's really all they need.
I love the fact that you have some goals and you're setting it and you're making it happen, which is hopefully we can ask you about how you can help others with their goals on today's episode. Because frankly, everyone has an idea of what they want to do, but sometimes motivation falls apart. So to start things off, the question I have off the top is, what is some of the top reason, or what is the number one reason most people fail at reaching their goals?
There's a lot of reasons, but a big one is it might not be like numbered 1, 2, and 3, because there are a lot of ones that are equally important. So one that's very important is that a company will make goals that are too high. So what'll happen is they will do very well. Like they'll go into business, or they'll be in business for a while, and then all of a sudden the business starts booming. So then they say, oh, last year, our goals were pretty low, or they were just flat even. But now we had a really good year. So now they expect to have another really good year. Now they don't know what's going to happen, because nobody's a psychic. And even if somebody is, they're still not going to know 100%. So they'll say, oh, I had a really good year. So now let's make a really higher goal. Right. And then let's say they do good. Let's say they even meet that goal. Then they're going to make a higher goal. So every year it goes up and up and up. And it turns into the fact that those goals are not reality over time. They don't become reality anymore, because there's a certain way. There's a mathematical way. There's a psychological way. There's a lot of different ways that a company comes to an actual number when they're making a goal. So they can make daily goals that they give to the employees. Let's say if it's like a sales company or an electronics firm, internet company. So they have goals that they'll give to the employees daily, weekly, monthly. And then that equals their goal, the yearly goal that they have on their spreadsheet. That's going to be what their bottom line is. So that's going to be above and below. But the thing is that they might stay with that mathematical equation for a little bit. But then when they start to see increases, then they kind of get carried away. And then they want to make the goal higher and higher. And then before you know it, that mathematical equation goes completely out of the window. And that's the end of that. And then the goals become too high, and then they're not meeting the goals. And then they say, I can't do this. This is not working out. And now we're failing as a company because we're not meeting the goals. And we did good for X amount of years, but the past 4 years, 5 years, we did good. Now we're not doing good, and they have no idea why. And they're not realizing that they're not following the proper procedure that they did originally. And the reason why they were good and they went above the goals was because they were following the proper equation, the way that they did it to, in order for them to meet the goal so then they can go above the goal. Originally, that was how they did it. But then when you start to go above, then you just want more and more. And that's greed, really, when you really think about it. But it's not intentional. They're not saying, I wanna do this. I wanna be greedy. They're really not saying that. It's just how it works out. So that's why it's really important. And then that creates negativity everywhere. That's the other problem. And then the managers and the executives are very negative, and then they pass that on to their employees.
Yeah, definitely impact the culture. So how would you define a strong goal in a business or leadership setting?
A strong goal would be a goal that's based on reality. It's not either the mathematical equation or however they do it, so they are succeeding every year. Because a company has to make their goals. Because if they don't, they'll be out of business in a year or 2 years. Even if they've been in business for 30 years, if they don't make goals in 2 years, they'll probably be out of business. That's how serious it is. Once they get above that, then they go a little bit haywire.
What role, in your opinion, does motivation play in success of obtaining goals? And how do you maintain that motivation throughout the goal attaining process?
What I would do is I would make daily goals. And that probably is the most important, because some companies will just make monthly goals and then expect their employees to make that goal every month. Where you have 30 days, it's a long period of time. And then at the end of the week, have them say what their goals are and how they made the goal that day and how they didn't. So you would have, let's say, like a weekly meeting. All big businesses do this. I'm talking about very, very large companies. The top companies, they all do this. So they'll have weekly meetings, sales meetings, or goal meetings. And they'll have these meetings. And then if they see that they're not making the goal, let's say an employee, or let's say a division, maybe the goal, if it's a really big company, it might be separated like into divisions. So if they're not making it the 1 week, then they say, okay, let's go over this. And then the next week, they don't make it again. Now you could see the way that that's becoming a problem. So if you make a monthly goal, then that might not be as effective because you have a span of 30 days and there's too much room for play there, for problems to happen. It's going to be really difficult to fix it because then you got to fix a month. If they were down 3 weeks out of the 4 weeks, now you got to fix 3 weeks in the next month. That's not very wise to do. So that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking about being down, when someone feels stuck or discouraged, how can they reset their goals or put themselves back on the path of being successful?
Even if they don't make goals and negative things happen or they get upset, the idea is to always remain positive. So if I don't make a goal, 1 week, 2 weeks, I still want to say to myself, I'm going to make the goal, or I'm going to try to make the goal. Even if I think I'm not going to, because what I think should be what I say. If I don't think I'm going to make the goal, then I should say I'm not going to make it. Because it depends a lot of times on what I think. Because if I think I'm going to make the goal and I say I'm not, am I or am I not? Then it creates confusion. So the idea is to change the thinking, obviously. So I know that I'm going to make the goal, but that doesn't happen overnight. So that's why the easiest way to do it is to train my brain to think positive that I'm going to make the goal, or even if I don't know. But if I really think I'm not, then I should say that I'm not until I could learn that I can, because I might not want to learn I can. It really depends on the person. Some people just like to stay negative, and some people just like are interested in becoming positive. That really depends upon the individual. Nobody's trying to say that individual has to think a certain way. That's up to them. But if they are negative all the time, then that's going to affect the company. That's the bottom line, because the company's trying to make money. That's the reason why they're making goals, because they want the employees to meet the goals so they could make a profit. They could increase their bottom line at the end of the year, and then maybe the employees will get bonuses or raises. But we want to make sure that everybody's positive. So what do they do with somebody who's negative all the time like that?
Well, this question's for leaders. And what's a practical step that leaders can take now to align their personal goals with team goals or company goals in total?
What I would do is I would have a meeting with the employees. Like I said, either could be like a division, if there are supervisors and they each have divisions, or all the employees. And I would say, we want to start this new way. We want to start this new process of how we're going to run this company. We're thinking of a few. One is making goals, and we have this theory that we're going to make daily goals, and this is how we're going to do it. And I would make this whole formula, okay, in detail. And I wouldn't tell the employees, this is what we're going to do. I would say, I could even make formula number one, formula number two, and they are outlines. And then I would present them to the employees. I'm serving the employees because I want the employees to work for me. Because if there was no employees, I wouldn't have a company. So I want the employees to agree with what I'm presenting for the most part. So which one are we in line with? Formula A, formula B. They might not know, they might not agree, but at least you can get a little bit of feedback. And it might change, but you want to be able to get into the groove of something. So that way they could get used to it.
In your line of work, working with your clients on the behavioral coaching side, what's one method or framework you teach your clients to stay on track with their own goals?
Well, to be positive, number one. There's other things like not to bring your home behavior into the work and vice versa. Maybe, now there are companies today that have counselors. They have they might not necessarily call them a counselor, but really that's what they are. But they can talk to you, and then it won't affect the company. Like they don't tell the company like what you're talking about like that. That's one good thing that can help them. The main thing is that for everybody to be in line, okay, for everybody to try to agree. And I want to be honest with myself. I don't want to lie to myself. I don't want to tell my boss everything's okay when it's really not. I want to be honest with myself and my boss and try to be open as I can. And if there's a problem or an issue, then I want to be able to go to him and say, this is what I've seen. This is what I've witnessed. And I'm just letting, when people do that, that helps the company. And believe it or not, that's going to help the company to meet their goals. Because this is a ways that we're changing our behavior. And we're being honest, and we're trying to be as good of a person as we can. And that's creating a certain type of energy, a certain type of vibe in their workplace. Mm-hmm. And that creates positivity. And also that's going to help them because with the goals, because that's kind of fitting everything together.
Communication is key. Yeah. In your experience, what's a personal or a client success story where a goal was completely changed by the outcome?
There is one situation that I know of. Well, there's a few, but I'm going to pick one that I know of. That there was a store, and it was a big company, and they were doing good, and then they weren't. They kind of like fell back only because of like the economy or whatever. They had to get rid of a lot of employees just because they had to make cuts, because otherwise they wouldn't have made it. So then they had very little employees, and then something happened and they boomed and they just started doing great. But now they have no employees. So now they think, because we have little employees and we're doing so good, that now we could potentially be losing money. We're not treating the customers. Customers are walking out the door because they don't see anybody. And this could work in any company. This could work like picture your company. So now they have to hire people, and they have to do it very quickly because it's happening now. And this wasn't something, this was something that was unexpected. So to tell you the truth, what I would do is I would have, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of companies do this and they don't even realize they're doing it. I would have people that I could hire basically in my back pocket at any time. Now, what we do is most of the time is we go online and we find a job that way through like an online website, a job board. And the manager or the boss has a whole database of resumes, because those resumes are going to stay there. And maybe they'll stay there for 2-3 years. I mean, the manager could download the resumes onto their computer. They could, or their drive, whatever. They could have those resumes forever. But a lot of times, managers don't use those resumes. So they think, oh, this resume is 2 years old. This is no good. When you have no idea what this person is doing. But I mean, this was 2 years ago. This person could be looking for a job. You have no idea. So I don't want to think, just because, and most companies have this, almost all companies have this, because they've all advertised at some point. Even if they don't have it on their computer, they still have it on the website, or they have access to it. That's what I want to do. And I want to be able to say, I can go now onto my computer, I can get these resumes, and I'm going to start calling these people. I don't know if I'm going to get anybody or not, but I'm going to call them and I'm going to put in the footwork. And I could do that the second, or I could write emails or something. I could do that at 2 o'clock in the morning. So that's something that I could do now, because posting a current job and then having people respond and doing the interview, that all takes time. I need the people now, whether it's a store or a company or a big corporation, it doesn't matter. Because a lot of companies this happens to, whether the business is great and then there's a recession. This is the way that it works. This is just the way that the world is. Or people spend a lot of money and then a few years go by, they don't spend money anymore because of tons of different situations. So I want to make sure that I always have access to people that I can hire.
And that's advice. That's worth its weight in gold. Thank you so much, Debbie. Just being able to listen to your experience and your situations has been more than invaluable. I hope our listeners and watchers feel that way too. But now is the fun part. If someone wants to learn more about you or interact with you, how do they go about doing that?
I have a website, lifeinbloomny.net. I have podcasts, and the podcasts are on my YouTube channel, which is Debbie Longo EBC. Executive Behavioral Coach. Or they could send me an email, info@lifeinbloomny. So there's a few ways that they could do it. They could also go on Facebook. The best way, and I have a phone number, so I would probably go on my website, lifeinbloomny.net, and then all the information's on there to contact me.
Absolutely. Thanks again for your time here on today's show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.